WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to 90.7 Caps. We're back for another episode of the Student Section, where we talk all things college football. My name is Tanner Thompson, along with Adrian Wesley and Zach Kelleher. Fellas, how are we doing today?
Doing good. How are you, Zach?
Good.
Morale is surprisingly high.
Great
bye week.
I should have started off the episode. Hey, guys. Welcome back to Student Section.
Welcome back to some demo football.
Obviously, we got to talk about some unfortunate things that may even not have happened this past Saturday. I actually ended off last episode saying I hope I come back with some good news.
Right.
Unfortunately, I have not come back with good news. Bama unfortunately lost.
Maybe some hidden good news.
Bama unfortunately lost 49-53 to Tennessee Volunteers. Just a wild game overall. Let's get some initial thoughts on this.
For college football, it's normally good. For Tennessee fans, it was normally good. For Alabama fans, it was an unbelievable game that was just kind of devastating into it. There's some positives that we can take away from the offense, I think, but we're going to dive into the defense with that. What do you got, Adrian?
My initial thought and my overall thought of the game, I just want to say this before we get into the details of the game. I want to say Alabama lost on the last play of the game, but Alabama gave up the most points they gave up in 115 years, dating back to 1907, and they had the most penalties in Alabama football program in 17. So, with those two combinations, and I actually was at the game, that crowd is honestly, like, it's hard to describe, but it's like you have to be there and, like, unbelievable. There are four or five times where I just stopped and was like, wow, this is crazy. With that crowd and those penalties and that amount of points for Alabama to lose on the last play, I think that's my biggest, and so we still had a chance to win the game.
You can't blame the refs. We had a chance.
We had a field goal. They make that field goal. I mean, Alabama keeps the ball off deep.
That's for everything. Let's get a little bit more in depth into the game. Obviously, I think one of the bigger statistical headlines from this game is going to be Jalen Hyatt. He has 6 catches for 5 touchdowns and 207 yards. And, that's a great game, don't get me wrong. But no receiver gets that game without borderline consistent busted coverage and just poor defensive play calling, at least I think. Don't get me wrong, he's talented, but to have
5
touchdowns on 6 targets, and his yards per reception is 34.5.
Well, that's two bombs.
Yeah, exactly. He had 2 misses down the field. And again, they were just, they were not hand-hooking. He had a great game. Standing by, he located a lot of throws doing well. But that's, I think it speaks more about how poor the secondary played rather than offensive firepower. Adrian, anything else you want to say about the Tennessee pass
attack? If we're going to talk to the Tennessee pass attack, I don't want to take anything away from them. I think they did maybe we didn't expect them to score 52 points.
Parts of the top, right?
we didn't expect that, but we knew coming into the game that who they were, that was the type of team that they had, and that their receivers were really good, and that Hendon Hooker was going to get those receivers the ball, and that Jabari Small, the running back, was really good. We knew that they were talented. All that playmaking ability with those players and with Josh Heupel calling is nothing but, you know, have nothing but success.
Yeah.
But everybody's killing the secondary, and I obviously deserve it. So I don't know the secondary play here. For me personally, I was most disappointed in the defense. I thought the push was just like, I've watched so many Alabama football games, I don't know if I've seen any Alabama D-line get quite dominated like that. It was like bad. We talked about those 2 deep plays of Hyatt. You just go back and look at the highlight. The amount of time
he's just sitting there.
He's just sitting there. There was one play in that game. Actually, both of those touchdowns. I did not look at Hyatt. I didn't see him down the field open. Right. But I looked at my uncle, who I was actually in the game with, I said touchdown before he ever threw the ball. He had so much time, and somebody's got to be open. So, hey, I think the D-line made the secondary get a lot of the crap. And I think the D-line
And that was a point that we highlighted last week, too. Like, we were like, the D-line's going to show up big. Like, huge. Yeah, we talked about that so much last week. And then for that, like,
Will Anderson, I think, I mean, you know, they got Dallas Curry got that touchdown. I think that
was. Well, I mean, that was. They
that
gave
was,
that.
That was. You know, that wasn't anything that Alabama defense did.
So I was thinking, like, they did to us what you've been able to do to us. Like, you just have, like, it was Waddle and Devontae Smith just going crazy, just breaking, you know what I mean? Like, that's what it felt like. I was like, wow, so this is how other teams have felt for us. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I felt.
Absolutely. But that defensive line, for me, it almost felt like, and again, I'm not a football coach, so I'm not going to try to, you know, speak out of line, I guess, but there were so many times where the defensive line, when you have, like, talented American defensive linemen, I feel we're running so many stunts on the defensive line.
Yeah.
And stunts just meaning, you know, releases where a defensive end comes in, takes a guy who the edge was supposed to be on, essentially crossing paths to create confusion on the offensive line. But when we did that, they almost just seemed delayed. Like, it seemed nobody was really wanting to get after the quarterback. There was a lot of times when we lined up, we had a lot of defensive linemen line up with their head up, and that's something which, that's just my
favorite.
Right. I don't know, it's like it was an that's a good one.
Yeah, I agree. I think we dropped the ball in the rest of the game. Lion's share of the blame is going to Nick Saban. Nick Saban's the coach.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's the GOAT, but I think just there was so much that was so questionable in that game. Like, with Pete Golden and Bill O'Brien, I don't want to be that guy who just runs the coordinator for a little. Pete Golden, his efforts adjust during the game.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that Kirby Smart or Jeremy Pruitt or any of the DCs before him were going to allow one person to have six catches and have five catches.
Yeah.
He doesn't adjust well at all. I don't think he's been developing guys. Like, if you look at Malachi Moore as a freshman, I mean,
Jesus.
I don't know. Maybe it was because he was playing across from Sartain. I don't know. But he doesn't look like he's developed well. A lot of defense just doesn't look great like they should with the amount of talent and amount of experience they have.
Right.
And then if you flip it to the offense and go to Bill O'Brien, I will say this. I don't think he got enough credit. I think he called a wonderful game until the last three possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's that one possession where they score a fourth and goal pass a lot too, they didn't run the ball. You know, I can
figure
a lot, and then obviously they didn't run the ball once at the end.
Yeah, so I want to dive in. What do you guys think about that?
What
is it? There's like 40 seconds left. We're in field goal range when we throw the ball three straight times.
What do you think that?
I mean, you said we have two timeouts in the game.
I think we have two.
Two timeouts, yeah.
They went to either, right? That's correct. Right. And they went to halftime. I don't think they didn't use a timeout for
that. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure we could have used one. I know for a fact. I'm pretty sure I would know what happened.
Yeah. So in that,
we had at least two timeouts.
Right.
In that scenario,
we threw the ball through two.
That's tough because obviously you run the ball. I would say like you run the ball a few times, and then you know let the clock get real low, take a field goal.
But at the same time, we missed the field goal.
I know. So like that because and obviously nobody knew that was going to happen. Like we couldn't plan that.
Right.
Yeah. So if you don't know that's happening, then you probably should run the ball in those if you're in full range. But at the same time, you know, it looks better because the offensive play calling almost looks better because the defense moves. Because it's, you know, looks like you're trying to play more aggressive, get closer.
Yeah.
But they obviously think they're going, so it makes it a little bit weirder. But
yeah. I was a little torn on this because, like, if we make, like, one play and get, like, 15 yards, like, 35-yard field goal, and we're like, it's not the
same. It's a great running team, so I'd say.
Yeah. So it was like people were mad that we didn't run the ball, but at the same time, like, it's a tough situation.
It's one of those things where it's like, this is obvious, but it's true at the same time. It's one of those things where on second and 10, if Gibbs catches that pass and he runs, honestly, Gibbs probably would have scored on the pass. Well, then everybody's saying, wow, what a great play.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah.
It just changes, and then, like, if Riker makes that kick and Alabama wins the game,
no one questions anything.
Yep. It's just like all the flaws in the secondary and the D line just like kind of get overlooked.
Yeah.
You won. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it was questionable. I was more upset with the play call on the goal line, actually, than I was in the last possession, because I went back and watched Saban's interview. He was saying, I mean, if you look at how Alabama got to that position on the field, it was all passing. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't any.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say this. When it's 3rd and 10, maybe the first two plays, you should pass.
Yeah, 3rd and 10. Maybe.
Yeah, but 3rd and 10, it's kind of like, okay, well, like, there's 40 seconds left. Like,
let's try to get Will a little closer.
Let's get him a little closer. Let's take off the clock. Like, there's no reason to get 2 timeouts on 1st and 10 and you just 40 seconds left in the game. Get Hendon Hooker for such a body. There's like, I don't know how they could have managed it better. Maybe Red, I don't know. But he should have touched the ball against Zoe.
So what did they run? 3 plays, I think, they got the ball?
Yeah. Yes. It was two. There was 15 seconds left and he threw 2 passes. Well, I mean, 3 plays if you count the field goal.
Yeah, 2
plays to get him down.
Yeah.
It was 15 seconds and in 13 seconds they got down there and called a timeout. With
the offensive play, they're wrong. You can, they have to win. When you watch Bryson play, he's playing out of structure so often, and I don't, it's not because of the fault of the play call.
Right.
Because he's staying in the pocket, he's looking for what he should be looking for, like he's running for his keys.
Yeah.
But we see him creating plays often, and whether that's because of poor offensive line play, maybe it's bad play calling, maybe it's slow receivers. But stuff like that highlights the caliber of prospect that Bryson is so well, in my opinion. Because I think we've had a lot of holes in this team so far this season. And to have somebody borderline carry a team the way Bryson has, putting the team on their back. Exactly. That's, I mean, it makes him so much better prospect in my eyes. Is there anything we want to tackle on about this game before we go to break?
Yeah,
let me just say this stat real quick. Mm-hmm. So, we have more penalties than any other school and ranked 129th in both penalties and penalty yards. Penalties 9.4 per game, penalty yards 79.9.
So they're borderline 2 penalties.
Great. I mean,
that's crazy.
What's the final number for 17?
17.
Mm-hmm.
130. And then Saban said they flipped probably about 70 yards on special teams, so that's 2 football field records. 2 touchdowns. But yeah, like you said, I'll go back to Bryce. Did Bryce Young beat that player in college football? A wide margin. I would say that for the break.
We'll talk a little more about Bryce Young in our third section, but for now, we're going to go to break. We'll be back in a minute with some college football as a whole preview.
WVUA FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. Second part of the student section episode. I know I said last second we're going to talk about some overall college football, but we just kind of decided there was way too much to talk about in this football game. Let's just kind of keep going from where we left last time.
With Bryce.
With Mr. Bryce Young.
Yeah. Okay,
you keep talking.
You were talking about, it was kind of confusing on what the problem was as far as like how he has to keep using his capability, which he's the best at in the country. Last year, I think it was more of the O-line. I think the O-line this season has got a lot of like a bad rep. Right. But I really think the problem this year is the receiver.
Yeah.
I don't think that anybody creates any separation. If you look there for last year, obviously they had Jameson Williams, first round, off an ACL up there.
Okay.
And then John Mechie was still, I think, second round pick off an ACL up there. So I think those guys last year being around created more separation for some of the young guys this year. or more in that role.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't think this year's set of receiving core. I mean, you can make a legit argument right now for me, like that our best two receivers are freshmen. True freshmen.
Yeah.
With Isaiah Bond and Toby Prentice. Yeah. I think, you know, you throw Jacory Brooks in there. Who's our, I think, the best receiver, but I don't think anybody's going to set themselves apart from what you can do out there.
Yeah.
And talking about receiving, how about the main version? The video that's up.
That's ridiculous. You can't do that.
What are you doing?
As a division manager, you cannot.
No. He hits a girl on the face of what we're referring to.
Yeah.
When they score in the field, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
What do you think? What do you think of the receiving core in this game? It's crazy how a quarterback can throw for 455, you know, receivers.
Yeah.
Just really stand out.
Yeah. So one play that stood out for me, just because we're talking about the offensive line, was in the fourth quarter, maybe when it was tied or we were down a touchdown, and he thrice scrambled for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So it was in the end zone. Didn't get a catch. We got the PI call. Yeah. Gave us the first down. Like, that was just an unbelievable play. He was just like swerving in and out of the, and he had time too. It's not like he didn't have. He had time, you know, go through his progressions. But
no one's open.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a play that I thought of.
Yeah. Not even the Bryce of winning the Heisman last year. If you just put on the tape from this game, just Tennessee, there's not a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, there's really not. I know CJ Stroud, he's great. We talked about it before, so he's amazing.
Right.
He's not Bryce. Man. Like, he's really not.
I'm going to piggyback off that a little bit. Specifically, Bryce Young. I think, I'm not an NFL scout, but from a scouting standpoint, he has every intangible you would ever thought.
He does.
Literally every single one. The pocket presence, reads his keys, eyes stay downfield. That is just like those traits as a quarterback who is in college. And also, he's on a team where like, he is carrying the team. A big reason a lot of people don't like Peter Stroud is because, you know, Ohio State quarterback thing, they consistently have high team receivers.
Mm-hmm.
This year, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., JSN, Jefferson, and Jacob.
Was that Julian Fleming, too, who was the number one receiver in that class? Kind of hard for them to beat the receiver. But still, though, from what Bryce has played with compared to what Stroud played with, Stroud played with much.
Yeah, and even for like when Mac was getting drafted into it, it was like, oh, well, these guys are good, but look at the receivers they're playing.
Right.
And Bryce might not get that. I mean, last year, but with James
playing it.
And he doesn't have that at all.
I know.
And he's still, and he's still, like, it's unreal.
Yeah. Well, Jameson left Ohio. He left Ohio State.
Right.
Because he wasn't going to play. So, like,
yeah.
Your fourth receiver came over here, that best, which is kind of hard to say looking back on it. I don't know if he was actually the fourth best out of those guys, but at the time, he wasn't getting the playoffs.
Bryce, people would talk about the size a little bit. People talk about I think you see people talk about arm strength.
The Bryce is
crazy. I just see the same thing.
It's ridiculous. I think it's just a correlation from the size.
Yeah, this is not. I think it's not logical.
No,
it's just people. It's literally just people seeing him.
He's listed as
6 foot and probably a generous 190. I think he weighs us to that.
He's around more like 5'9", 1'7".
5'9", I would say.
He's gorgeous. Did you see him next to Stetson Bennett? He's shorter than Stetson Bennett. He's not big at all.
He's a big enough 5'9". The big reason you get worried about those, about shorter quarterbacks, like 5'9", Bryce Young,
according
to Adrian Wesley, is that
75.
Honestly, like 5'6".
Right. Here's that.
But the concern you get with those quarterbacks is them being able to go across the field, short, just passing up his line. And if you go back and watch, honestly, a lot of his tape, but specifically, you go look at the Georgia game, the SEC champ, I believe it was SEC championship last year. He was still, I mean, him being the back, he was stepping up, making throws over Jordan Davis, who's one of the largest people I've ever seen play football. It's ridiculous. And so when he can still make those reads, obviously there's going to be a lot more of guys that size in the NFL, but he's still playing. He is still a productive quarterback on the field, along with the arm talent, along with the mobility, intelligence, power, presence, and he is a wonderful prospect. Apparently, one of Black Carolina Panthers are now in the sweepstakes for Mr. Bryce Young. Just putting that out there.
Maybe a rebuild.
Why not? He has a good roster.
I'd rather that than Atlanta.
Exactly. I agree with that. Bryce Young and Christian Panthers.
Although they want to get rid of the Panthers. Well, yeah. That's another story.
Yeah, that's another. We're talking about a lot of people right now. But yeah. Bryce Young being quarterback one is a big thing I think over the past 3 years.
Right. I don't think he is at this point, though, which is just like
probably not.
I think everyone has Stroud over him, which honestly, people are ridiculous.
People are doing this.
I think they take Stroud is good, but the amount of consideration when they're looking at him for isn't it funny, Russell Wilson, in the year that Bryce Young was going to get drafted, he's having his worst year of his career.
He's hurting Bryce Young.
He's hurting Bryce Young.
He needs to get it together.
But I don't know. Just look at C.J. Stroud, what he's done. What has C.J. Stroud done to stop? That's not crazy. Besides be great statistically, but like,
what have you done
besides a great quarterback? Besides being the best quarterback in this conference, like, maybe in the country, what have you done besides that? But no, like, seriously, if you look at, like, what big games has CJ Stroud won?
That's the thing about always the past year. What's high two and two going up against Big Ten teams?
Yeah, like, his biggest game in his career last year, he lost against Michigan. Right. He won the Rose Bowl, but I mean, that wasn't like in a playoff game,
he was great in the game. He was.
Smith and Jigley.
CJ Stroud is definitely the most accurate passer in the draft right now. Bryce Young is close behind him, but I'm going to give CJ Stroud the edge. I think CJ Stroud is, in terms of arm talent slash
right.
Put this together, he's behind Bryce Young. But clean pocket, CJ Stroud. I mean, if you watch him, it feels like on every single fade or go route or fly route, whatever you want to call it, I've ever seen him throw, it's in the box.
He's great.
He's really great. For a lot of people, they're almost interchangeable. Not on this show, but for a lot of people, they're interchangeable.
Yeah, I think they're both great.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who's making himself a lot of money right now. Number one, Jameer.
Yeah. Right.
Jahmyr Gibbs, and this is obviously in a what if world. What if Jahmyr Gibbs and Jamison Williams were on the same Alabama team? Could you imagine?
Where do you put your best DB? Do you send him DB to stay with Jamison Williams? Do you keep him flat and have to keep him on Jahmyr Gibbs?
Kool-Aid played good too.
Kool-Aid did have
him. Oh, yeah. Kool-Aid
was the only player on defense that I was like, okay.
I saw he was only targeted once. In the passing game.
Really? Why did they not put him in?
I don't know.
It's like,
we're running so much. Well, Hyatt's a slot receiver.
Yeah.
And I guess it's just them making this thing. We're running so, like, the market with Helen.
Dude, it's unfair for him to do
it. It's unfair.
I told people, everybody's like, Helen needs to get, like, he needs to play way better. Like, I'm telling you, like, that's not what he does. That is a defensive, that is on peak goal. Like, that's on peak goal.
Why?
Well, why would DeMarco Helens, who's shown since he's been at Alabama, be guarding a receiver? He's like, I get it. He's like a safety, he's a DB, like quote unquote. He's not a DB, but like he should have those skills. But like he's shown time and time again, he doesn't have those skills. He excels at what he does playing safety. He's really good, but he's not going to be able to guard any top level.
Definitely some pre safety.
Yeah. He's
playing battle places.
So he was like, he had a lot of long ones.
Because he would love to speak.
They're like everyone on the push.
I keep saying all these aggressive plays, so you're having happy safeties going to man coverage, and then DeMarco Helens just can't run. I actually agree with some Russian pass rushers speaking at this point. Against A&M, we had 33 total pressures. Obviously, that was just a crazy game from the defensive standpoint. Dallas Leonard Williams had 10 himself. Then we had 3 sacks on that game, plus 11 hits. Then in the next game, we had 13 total pressures, 1 sack, 0 QB hits. So that is just a pretty night and day difference. So obviously, it's two different opponents.
You know, 13 quarterback pressures, hurries?
13 pressures.
See, that even sounds...
If you want to even say that, that sounds
pretty loud.
Like, yeah,
that doesn't sound like
real. Absolutely. But,
were we traded in one sack?
We were traded in one sack.
Was it the play where they two guys took him down or he's like running?
That's why in this database, DJ Dillon was traded in one sack. So it's probably...
I think that was early in the game, actually. Yeah, that was early. Because there's that one play where two guys, I think, not Ben Anderson, there were two guys that took Hendon Hooker down. But I think it was like more of like a run play, so I think it was credit and tap. I think it was, yeah. I don't think it was credit and sack. It was credit and tap. Because, yeah, because Will Anderson had half a tactical loss in the game. And you see where Will Anderson, speaking of the D-line, and Nick Saban both talked about anxiety going to
the... I did see that.
That's like, what
yeah, I saw the tweet that said they weren't chanting before the game.
Right, yeah, Nick Saban said it.
They always chant before the game. That's insane.
That's the biggest thing that I've seen this year, right, outside of very bad adjusting, yeah, and very bad coaching overall. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot that we could complain to, yeah, mm-hmm, but that statement was probably the one thing I could give somebody argument in Nick Saban.
Yeah.
If you look back at any Nick Saban team, even the team that lost multiple games, mm-hmm, I don't think any of them were. I mean, obviously, I wasn't watching anxious before a game.
Yes.
At least they didn't show that. Because this team showed it. Right. And they came out and said it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was wild.
Mm-hmm. It's the same with Coach. He's got that.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, that's just not.
Used to Alabama would step on the field and the team would lose before the game started.
Yeah.
They're not like that anymore. But one thing I will say that I don't think gets talked about enough, I think more credit gets taken away from Alabama. And some of that credit should be given to some of the other teams in the SEC.
Yeah.
I just think with NIL and with some of the new coaches, I mean, obviously Kirby's been there a while.
Mm-hmm.
Apple's now in the league. Just a lot of coaches coming up in the SEC that I think are better than when Nick Saban came into the SEC.
Right.
And I think they're recruiting better and getting higher level players. The athletes are more spread around than they were maybe in Saban's early days. I think more than Saban falling off, that the SEC has just gotten strong. Like, obviously, they're trying to catch up. So I think other teams deserve a little more credit. Maybe the Alabama deserves it.
Yeah, so we're picking apart this game and we're talking about all Alabama politics. You got to give Tennessee credit.
Right. Tennessee deserves
it. Yeah. Yeah. They were great. They were awesome. So.
They couldn't stop it.
Like, no.
Yeah. Like, they literally had no answer for them. It felt like every time Alabama stopped them, like a fluke.
Yeah.
Like, how many times did Tennessee punt it? One time they punted, didn't count. Well, that's what something we didn't bring up. There's so many plays in that game. We can make a top 10. Mm-hmm. We haven't even brought up. Yeah. Three times. Yeah. We haven't even brought up the special team.
Oh, my God.
For Darian Robinson.
Darian Robinson's name.
I don't think that. I'm going to go ahead and say that. I'm going to go out with him. I don't think that he will have to show his talent.
Yeah.
He's probably going to show his talent elsewhere and put film on at another school.
Yeah.
So Adrian was at the game. He's in the rush on TV. Watching that play, I thought he was returning that too late.
Yes.
I thought he touched it.
He did.
I didn't think. I thought he touched it.
But even then, Wilson.
But then no one went after the ball.
Your body language, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And also, yeah, you should really. I think he won that. He was right there beside him. I mean, he was
right.
You know, you were watching TV.
You
were
right beside
him. You should see what happened.
Exactly.
You're a linebacker.
You're covering the punt. If that ball goes on the ground, you don't try to pick it up and run it.
You try to scoop it and dive
on it. There's no set. Part of me thinks that has to be a perfect mistake. Because I just don't see a scenario where they
copy the fucking I don't even. I don't either. That's something you want to play
two way football.
I guess the poor guy. That's what I would say. If he doesn't get his time, he is predominantly special. He won't get any more time.
Mm-hmm.
He's especially
right there. Yeah.
But it'd be a special team for this year.
And I've seen you guys come from, but at the same time, and again, it's special team.
For definitely for Alabama.
You can never know, man. It's been good the last couple of years, but now it's going back to our old form. Not good.
Yeah, so, and then too, like, watching him, so even if you thought that he touched it, his body language, like, the ball was on the ground, he's kind of walking, like, and straight up, and then he tried to that was stupid, I guess. There was just something off of it. It was just really weird. Like,
Very questionable.
Because it's not like, if he would have thought that Kool-Aid touched it, he would have been immediately, like, going for that. And there was that, like, split second of him just, like, hesitating and kind of just standing there, and then he decides to go and get paid to play the decision.
Scooping in a special team scenario is a problem of sin.
It's something you learn in an early age.
Yeah.
That's why I think it makes sense to me. Before we go to break, yeah, I was going to say how you said I was at the game and y'all were on TV. One thing I'll say, me, when I was watching it from, I didn't realize in that game how much Bryson got hit.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize until I went back and watched the game on TV. I watched highlights and, like, he got hit a lot.
So I don't remember if I said it on the show last week or if I just said it to me. But it, to me, like, it seemed like one of those games where Bryce was going to be forced to play.
Right.
And then he would get hit once and reactivated.
Yeah,
but he was getting, he looked 100%.
Right. He can take a hit.
I know.
He was getting, it's like you said, 100%. No one can say that they lost because his health. I mean, he was bomb.
Yeah.
According to Tennessee Patrick, he was pressured 25 times. He was only sacked once, and that shows. I'm not going to actually.
It was like
25
total. Yeah.
8 QB hits. And 6. And that's 8. And 9, he got hit 9 times.
Yeah.
And he's hurried 16 times. That's not the most relevant stat. 25 pressures and 8 hits and 1 sack.
Dude, that's Bryce Young.
That's
Bryce Young. Any other quarterback in the country, including CJ Stroud, at the very low, is getting sacked 5 times. At the very low.
That's something that I think some expensive.
Yeah.
At the same time, though,
he's shown he can take it.
He's shown he can take it.
Yeah.
And one time, shoulder.
And it went on a hit. It was just a fluke play, like you said. Yeah.
All right. So that is going to go to break.
Well, maybe we'll talk about some college football this time. Who knows?
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome back to the third section of this week's episode of the student section. We have exclusively talked about Alabama football this episode, and we're going to do it in a very quick way.
I just want to say real quick, Zach just told me that the state's going to be found.
He sure did. And
that's just so unfair, man.
Hit me on Twitter if you want his personal information. I'm happy to give it to you for the right price.
That's the low blow, man.
Low blow for no reason.
Exactly.
Done nothing wrong. Been a great post.
If you see Zach Gellar in person, make sure you give him a stare.
Dude, what is it? What is it?
It's an ambush.
This is an ambush.
You remember when you made what sounds of our game day picks a few weeks ago? Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about this. Mississippi State Bulldogs. This could be a great game in just case you're definitely excited about it. Any initial interest really about your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll say this. In the pitch, the Bulldogs were I've seen a stat this week that it came out over the last decade. I want to say, I can't remember, but Alabama has played Mississippi State. This will be the fifth time after a loss. So it's like that. Did you see that? That's so, like, so bad for Mississippi State. Like, 5 times you play Alabama, it's coming after a loss. Like, you just, you have no chance. You have no, if you look back to last year's game, you land at 5 sacks and Bama won 49-9 in State's backyard. So I'll say that for Mississippi State.
I sure can fire them. This point, they're not going to the playoffs.
And it's crazy because every time Bama leaves, they're not going to like pass. But like, if you look at last season, they lose to A&M, then they're winning at 1 point in the fourth quarter. You get plays in Alabama.
That was a tough feeling last year too. I remember exactly the week after the West Coast game, just feeling bad for Mississippi State. And almost did the same way about it.
It's a little different this year.
I mean, why is it different? I feel like it's different. You know why?
I think last year that was one of the teams better than this year.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because they have a lot of the same secondary players, but secondary felt more trustworthy. They're up to five receivers for them. Different. It felt different last year. It felt like Bama was more.
Yeah.
So, maybe it's because we're coming off back to back.
Last year was
national championship.
That's kind of the best thing.
So, this year we're coming off championship loss.
It's also crazy to think about, like, the Texas game.
What's been a theme this
years. Yeah. Like, we're getting some close, but we're not blowing teams out of the water anymore.
No, that was days where, like we talked about last time, the athletes were spread out and other teams caught up. I mean, if you look back last year, they beat Arkansas by a touchdown, they beat Florida by two, they beat Auburn by two.
Yeah.
There were a lot of games. They ended up beating Tennessee by 28, but really the fourth quarter was one position game.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's been a theme the last 2 years now. Alabama's not just going to pull up and come in. Yeah. Crazy, the best team that's won the last 2 years been good.
Yeah. So, a friend of mine, every time I come across the game, so we talk about a lot of these things. And believe it or not, that topic has come up sometimes about the SEC Championship and the National Championship. And my friend, Tyler, every time he'll say, only the SEC Championship.
He says that every single time.
That thing's a league. Who needs to be
in the league? Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Who cares about that?
So did you guys see the stat that they haven't scored? Mississippi State hasn't scored since then. Who do you think Dak Prescott has lost?
Since Dak Prescott?
2014?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
At home. That was the last time he scored.
So he just looked the last couple of years to get pretty good again. They scored 9 last year. They fell out before that, 2020 year old. So.
Yeah.
Could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it was right now. Yeah, right. I enjoy the stats about things like that, but at the same time, this time last week, we're talking about Tennessee hasn't beat Alabama in 15 years.
Yeah.
So
that's what meant to be.
Again, we're meant to be broken. So, you know, obviously, not saying anything about this game. I'm just saying, that's fair about the counting stats, but
they're
not.
Okay. Just a bad move also went wrong. I do want to get real quick before we dive into some other games. Our prayers and thoughts go out to Mississippi State. And then Sam Westmoreland, who lost his life in Mississippi State. So, ESPN 17, I'm just not going to be 18 or 19 anymore. He said, I think. Pretty sure Mississippi State would be that's too funny. But just looking at the matchups of this game, I think that they're kind of these scared about them because Will Rodney, you got him hooked, but he can give you fits.
Yeah, the attacking game can be a brand, but
it's a ranked matchup, which is like it feels so like going into the game. Maybe it's probably because they're both coming off the loss.
Yeah.
They come out that 27-17 loss. And then obviously Alabama coming off the 52-0 It just doesn't feel like a big time matchup, even though it's a top 25 matchup. But like, they're both coming off the 52-0 again. I think it's been a lot of years. I mean, if State wins that game last week, sitting 13 right now.
So yeah. It's so weird looking at this one team at 6 Alabama.
We're in the middle
of the season.
Yeah, very weird. As long as they end, they're in the middle of the
season. No, that's all that matters. Yeah.
So, what do you think are the keys to this game, Joe?
Let's see. The Mississippi State first season pro, they have got I can't recall his name. I'll give you
on
the second.
I know on the other end, on the other side of the football, they have one quarterback who needs
Ducking. Taylor Ducking? Oh, well, I think
he did get the team.
Right.
That's
him. 6'5".
That's him?
Yeah, that's him. And he's close with Lucas Harvey's name. He's a slot guy. He's not the craziest prospect out there. He's the guy who's just been kind of fun. He's the Ducking's pick. Ducking is the kind of bad
thing that's happening. Who
has the most touchdowns? Ducking. Ducking receiving.
Yeah. See, yeah,
he's got 6'5" from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking, this is what I think the biggest thing about this game. Mississippi State, as an offense, they got some pretty wild numbers. Their red zone touchdown rate is
9.5%. That's not including field goals because it's like there's two sets of scores almost like
It's 92 overall. That's really good. And it's because they kind of have a air raid offense, but not in the bombing out field way. Take a big injury and move down the field. So
right. That's really a risk.
Exactly.
Even their run game is really not that good
at all. And but that's, I think that's what makes it so run go because they know how to set up and make sure field. So that number, that 9.5%, is a scary number.
Yeah. I could see that. I mean,
especially with some of the mistakes Alabama makes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be hitting at them. Baby attempts. They have put up points this week.
Yeah.
49, 39, 31, 45, 40, 45, 42, 40.
I think a lot of people are just kind of, the rest of this game to the side. And just, for sure, we had them. I personally think Alabama's going to dominate. But, this
is a bunch of game inside.
Yeah. I personally think Alabama's going to dominate. Personally, I'm one of those people. But, they could get all those problems without Alabama playing. But, let's just be honest. It honestly feels like same. As soon as we literally left, Alabama loses on the road, then their next game is against Mississippi State. Seems like the season, the team looks bad. Alabama's going to lose more than one game. Playoffs are out of reach. But it's still like the same story last year. If you look back to last year, I've heard a couple of whispers of Will Anderson. He's not doing what a lot of people thought he would do coming this year. Well, if you go back and look statistically at last season, Will Anderson didn't take off
until right now.
Until that A&M run, in the next game against Mississippi State on ESPN, they had 5 sacks. So,
this is very weird.
It is.
Very weird. This is one of the games that.
This is a perfect.
Exactly. This one is very weird. Do something like that. Things like that. Sign 5 sacks. I really hope he does. I really hope.
It's time for just these last 2 weeks, and really if you even date back to the Arkansas game, I know they final school week they won 9-23, but it was a 5-point game in the 4-4 in the 30-15, so it didn't feel like that margin. It's time for a Bama beat.
Yeah.
It's time for old fashioned dominant win. They need to have pictures.
Even the games that because when people are going to look at that Tennessee game, kind of like you said earlier, how they're going to take away from not anybody against Tennessee. Because that's a good Tennessee game.
I mean,
very good.
Yeah, they're so good. I think Tennessee still might be in there. We talked about it before the show. We all agree that Georgia's going to beat Tennessee. I personally haven't talked to anybody who thought Tennessee's going to beat Tennessee.
Right. They definitely could.
Yeah, maybe Tennessee's still kind of like. Yeah, people talk more about Alabama's flaws than they give credit to Tennessee's, what they did in the game.
That's just the Alabama's
practice. It is. Well, did I send you all that the last 6 times Alabama's lost on the road? scored or the field that they scored. Classic time. And that spans over like a, I think since 2014.
Yeah.
I want to say since the Ole Miss game.
Yeah.
In 2014. That's crazy. That right there alone speaks to you, say.
100%.
Every time.
Alabama fans, at least, they could just never stop.
There'll be no reason. And with this show, we're going to be tied. This weekend, when we beat State, we're going to score the field. We need to get it going. It's our first on the field on a homecoming. No better than
that. For reasons. That was Adrian Wesley's idea.
Yep.
I'm going to make that clear.
Next week,
we will not be in the studio.
Yeah, Jack jail in the hospital, perhaps.
All things can go wrong.
That was so much fun. That was too good.
Yeah. Thank you.
That'd be a lot. Apparently, they have a lot more. Before the show wraps up, I want to get y'all upset picks and y'all score predictions on this side of this.
Alright, I'll go score predictions. I just saw I'm just going to say everything. But I'm going to go Alabama 38-7. Yeah, and my upset pick of the week is Hughes over Clemson.
My out-of-state prediction, I think I'm going to say
35, and then I'm going to say that Mississippi State kind of gets, say, 21, maybe? Maybe I'm saying
that? Yeah.
And then Mississippi State, 35.
You got an upset pick for us?
My upset pick is, I don't see if this is an upset, but as of right now, Oregon is favored by 6 in UCLA.
It's the easiest upset pick I've ever looked at.
I'll definitely take UCLA in that for sure. And that's just kind of like, but yeah, that's an upset pick.
Respectable. I'm going to go Alabama score 48. I'm going to give State 20 for my upset pick. It's going to be Texas and Oklahoma State. That's on the road, but I think when you
This has been the student section. Again, I'm Tom Thompson. I'm Adrian Wesley and Zach Miller. We'll see you guys next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.